Good morning. Today's scripture is from the Gospel of Mark, the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 30. He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Josh. Today, we are continuing our sermon series, The Kingdom of God, Within Us and Among Us. Over these past few weeks, we have explored what it means for us to be a part of God's vision for the world, a kingdom where all are kin, all are family, all are in relationship to each other. We have explored what it means for God's kingdom to be within each of us and how we live it out together. We've considered exactly what it is we're building when we work amongst ourselves to be a part of this kingdom. And yet, one of the hardest things for us to do, or at least for me to do, as a follower of Jesus Christ, is to understand exactly what's going to happen in the future. What will the kingdom of God be like? Or, as a common question gets asked, are we there yet? Because after all, we are pretty sure when we look around at our world now and we see hurt and pain, destruction, greed, oppression, disaster, hate, that we don't see God's kingdom everywhere all the time. Fortunately, we are not alone. Jesus' first followers also struggled to understand his teachings and wrestled with what he said. They looked around them and saw many of the same things in their world, living in a small, insignificant, occupied country under the power of the Roman Empire, where there was hunger, oppression, war, but joy and birth too. And then they did not know how in the world this kingdom of God that Jesus was talking about would come to be, or what it would be like. And I have to say, sometimes Jesus is not the most helpful person, even though he was a very gifted storyteller, because he left it up to their imagination. So today, let's listen to Jesus' story with ears to hear and our imaginations to lead us as we wonder what on earth and in heaven Jesus is talking about. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, builder of a kingdom beyond and fulfilling of our imaginations, with your promises of peace and justice and love for all people, be with us now as we open ourselves to you. Open our ears, open our hearts, open our eyes, open our imaginations to how you are calling each of us to participate in your kingdom. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When I was a little girl, we had a garden beside my house in Florida. And now I have to confess or call out my father, it was not a successful garden. I actually don't remember ever eating anything from it. So you can probably think about like the Florida rain or the heat and all sorts of stuff. And then at some point in my childhood, my dad simply stopped doing it. But the one thing I do remember being successful were sunflowers. And they would grow and grow and grow. In fact, I swear, I haven't found it yet, but probably it's my mom at my mom's house. There's a picture of me as a little girl being towered over by these huge sunflowers. And I remember being awed by the fact that these tall, tall plants were taller than my parents, taller than all the adults I knew, and that they grew from a small seed, which you could even eat. And I think at one point I worried that if I ate sunflower seeds, a sunflower would begin growing in my belly. After all, that's common sense. This is what seeds do. They grow. They are pretty ordinary, and they are all around us. And they are also amazing little miracles. So it's little wonder that Jesus tells several parables about where he uses seeds. After all, there is so much meaning that we can find in this ordinary and extraordinary part of life. One of them that Josh just read is called the parable of the mustard seed, which looks like this. And while these are from Israel, when we went there a couple years ago, you can buy them at the grocery store, mustard seeds. So in this parable, Jesus compared the kingdom of God to one of these little mustard seeds, which he said was the smallest of all seeds. And then he said, when it's planted, it grows to become the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches, large enough so birds can make their nests in their shade. Now, I have to tell you something very important. Jesus was wrong. The mustard seed is not the smallest of seeds. In fact, not the smallest of seeds that were even Jesus at Jesus' time and in Jesus' region of the world. Those were orchid seeds and cypress seeds. But, you know, it's okay with me that Jesus doesn't have a PhD in botany. We'll forgive him that. Mustard seeds are pretty small. So in this parable, Jesus uses this mustard seed as a metaphor for the kingdom of God. And in some ways, the message seems simple. The kingdom of God is like a small seed. It has small beginnings. And then it grows and grows and grows until it is the greatest of shrubs. And it includes all the whole earth and provides for living creatures to make their shelter, as illustrated by nesting birds. But the deceptive simplicity of this parable makes it easy not to look for deeper meanings. And here's the catch. In parables, there are always deeper levels of meaning. Because after all, Jesus would teach the disciples in these stories called parables to help them gain greater insight into what he was teaching. His stories were meant to surprise his listeners into insight. In fact, that's where we get the word parable. It's based on the Greek root, parabola, which means thrown alongside. And basically, it is a story where Jesus is comparing two things for the purpose of challenging and provoking his listeners into using their imaginations. As one author puts it, in using parables, Jesus is seeking a shift in our imaginations, a shift in the way we see ourselves, see God, and see each other. Jesus took the ordinary and mixed it up to help his listeners interpret and reinterpret the world around them in new ways, to see it with God's kingdom vision. So this short parable that's called the parable of the mustard seed actually appears in all three of the synoptic gospels in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and it's even in the gospel of Thomas. So we're pretty sure that Jesus told this story. Yet each version is slightly different in the details. In the gospel of Mark, the seed is simply sown. In Matthew, a man took the seed and sowed it in a field. In Luke, a man casts it into his garden. So there's some conflicts about how the seed gets planted, but it all seems to get planted and it begins to grow. Then Mark says the seed grows into a vegetable, or what our translation today calls a shrub. Now, Matthew has some magic going on in his version where he says the seed grows into a vegetable, into a shrub, and then it transforms into a tree. Luke simply skips the whole evolutionary process and says mustard seed grows into the mustard tree, which is completely imaginary. So then there are these birds of the air, birds of heaven. How many birds? What kind of birds? What size? Who or what do they represent? So many questions about birds. And then we have Matthew that throws in this little bit about having the grain of the faith of a mustard seed later. And so that takes people down a whole nother path. So while these synoptic gospels have similar broad strokes, where there's some kind of small seed that grows and then birds that take shelter, the details differ. Now, possibly this is because Jesus is a good storyteller, and so he adapts the story to different audiences. That makes sense. But these differing details and an easily remembered parable means that people have had fun for 2,000 years of creating so many interpretations of this little parable, and they love to get into arguments about the details. It's almost like there are many branches with many different leaves of interpretations, some that you might have heard before. One branch focuses on this small to large growth aspect. It emphasizes the growth of Christianity and says that it represents just the few people their Christianity grow to be around the world. A leaf on this branch says that the birds represent all people, including Gentiles, and that all people will find a place in the church. Another branch of interpretation that you might have heard about focuses on the meaning of a mustard seed, and it kind of goes a little political, and it says this mustard seed was a common plant, maybe even a weed, and so it interprets that in comparison to the great cedars of Lebanon and empires and says, look, the little weed is better than the great empires. One leaf that probably needs to be pruned from that branch, it comes down to like some arguments about Jewish purity laws, and it really is very dismissive of Jewish people's practices, which is really problematic because Jesus was Jewish. So these are just a few of the big branches that you have probably heard if you've heard this story. If you want to explore more, I always like to give resources, and you can explore more through a thought-provoking Bible study that our women at the Well Group actually did from Amy Jill Levine, who is one of my professors at Vanderbilt Divinity School and had a reputation for making people cry. But she was an Orthodox Jew who studies historical Jesus. So she has a book called Short Stories, which explore the different parables, and the chapter on the mustard seed is where I got a lot of stuff for today. So always like to get credit. So given all of this, how are we, as hearers of this parable, on November 17, 2024, in Florence Christian Church, in Florence, Kentucky, in the United States, on this planet called Earth, challenged and provoked when we hear this parable? How are our imaginations being stirred? And maybe that is part of the point of this deceptively simple parable. After all, it's not interesting to think about a seed growing when planted. That's what seeds do, right? But maybe being invited into a time of wondering is what this story of Jesus is about. So I want to offer you a time of wondering today. Wondering about this story and wondering about your imagination and how it can get all stirred up. So I'm going to tell the story in the style of worship and wonder, which is the way we tell these stories to our children and to our adults, and have been doing it for over 20 years. If any of our young people wish to join me on the floor here for an up-close view, you are welcome to come. If you don't want to, that's fine. But as I'm getting ready, I invite you to get ready. Settle yourself in your pew. Maybe put your feet on the ground. We'll sing a song in just a second that you may or may not know. To get ready to hear one of God's sacred stories. I'm going to take a breath in and out and in and out. And then I'm going to sing our getting ready song, which if you know, you are welcome to sing along with me. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. This looks like it might be a parable. This box is gold. And parables are precious like gold. It also looks like a present. And parables are like presents. We cannot buy them or take them or steal them. They are already ours. I know another reason it might be a parable. It has a lid. And parables seem as if they have lids on them. But when you open them up, there's something truly special inside. So let's see. Ooh. Look at this. It's so yellow and so round. I wonder what it could be. Maybe it's a ball or a balloon or the sun. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him. And he told them about the kingdom of God. But they did not know where it was, and they did not know anyone who had ever been there. So one day they asked him, "What is the kingdom of God like?" And he said, "The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds, that when planted, it begins to grow and to grow and to grow and to grow and grow. And it grows into the greatest of shrubs. Until the birds come and nest in its branches." I wonder if these birds have names. I wonder how many birds can make their nests in the tree. I wonder why the birds choose to live here. I wonder if the birds argue about who gets to put their nest where. I wonder if any bird ever chooses to leave. I wonder how something so small can grow into something so big that birds live in it. I wonder where this place might really be. Hmm. let's keep wondering about the story. I hope as you heard this story again, and were invited into an intentional time of wondering, that God stirred your imagination. And as you feel comfortable, I hope you will share those stirrings with your family, your friends, your church family, and leaders as we all listen together. And today I want to close by sharing what God has been stirring in my imagination this week. It's a hard time to be church. Things for the church have changed and continue to change in the 21st century. Sometimes it's hard to think about what the future of our church will be, of our congregation. We're not quite sure what the church universal will look like in the future. But here is the good news of this parable. God has given us the seeds and hope for the future. However, as Jesus says in verse 32, yet when it is sown, it grows. Because before seeds can grow, they must be sown. They must be planted. And we must provide the things that the seed, as miraculous as it is, needs to be able to grow. Healthy soil, water, the right temperature, light that provides the necessary component for photosynthesis, all of those energy things. And for seeds in our congregation to grow, we need to dig deep, plant them carefully, and nurture them intentionally. God is our light that we all need, and God is there shining on us. We just need to receive and to listen. Our community is like the soil where we need to provide a healthy, welcoming, loving atmosphere where all are included and feel as if they belong. Our worship and faith formation opportunities are like the water that nourishes our souls. And it's through learning and worshiping God and our spiritual disciplines as people of faith that we are each able to receive that spiritual sustenance. Our outreach ministries and our service are how we continue to sow seeds in the garden of God's kingdom beyond ourselves. God has given us the seed, and when we nurture them, they will grow. They will grow as one plant in that kingdom. And so, as we continue to go through the rest of this year, we need to remember that we all have seeds in our life. In your personal life, in the life of this congregation, and in this community. And so we need to find those seeds. We need to plant them and nurture them so that they will grow. And they will grow and be a part of God's kingdom among us and within us. A fun quote from Robert Schuller says this: anyone can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the number of apples in a seed. So as you go from here today, my challenge for you and for me is may these parables be seed for you and for us to wonder about how we can be the seed for the kingdom of God. After all, God knows. Thanks be to God. Amen.